You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Monday, Mike McNamara for a Monday edition of All Marine Radio. Getting ready to head to North Carolina, I think. Dealing with military travel people and SATO, always a bit of a challenge. So we'll see what happens. The you know, we recorded, you'll hear in hour two today, you'll hear Tim Lynch, Jeff Kenney, and Will Cosentini, kind of different. But I thought it was, I thought that you should hear from them about the Navy's decision to not reinstate the commanding officer, Captain Brett Crozer. So I thought that, I think that's a big deal. For a couple reasons. Once the Navy finally does something right, on its second attempt, I think. Because if you recall, after a preliminary inquiry, the Chief of Naval Operations said he was inclined to reinstate him. And for a whole host of reasons, that's a bad idea. But anyway, but continuing the, in my opinion, just the problematic existence of leadership in the United States Navy, seeming, you know, the identity crisis they're having in terms of what are they? Are they a military organization or are they like a, I don't know what you call it. They're like a jobs program that, you know, sometimes does military stuff. And if you ask me my opinion, their jobs program that sometimes does military stuff. And they've been fighting that in their own culture. And so on Friday, I would tell you, me personally, with great relief, you know, I saw that headline. And so so I thought it was, I think it's important. So you'll hear Tim Lynch actually joins us this time. So that's nice to hear. And then Jeff Kenney and Will Cosentini. So we recorded that last night. One of the things you'll hear me say in that is that, you know, and I might have said it last week on the show, but I've never lived in a communist nation. I've never lived in a totalitarian nation. But this is, you know, what it must feel like. You know, the fatalism that you read about, you know, Russians having all the time, right? The last and funniest thing I saw, the last most funniest thing I saw that came out of Russia was that Russia doesn't have a COVID-19 problem, right? Because when it gets to the Russian border, it turns into the flu. But we've got a flu problem, but not a COVID-19 problem. And so, you know, so you deal with, you know, a nation where the truth isn't important. Like, uh-oh, well, that's uncomfortable, right? Because who are we talking about? Oh, but we're talking about them. Right. We're talking about them. So don't worry, little hair on your head. Okay. Then you kind of, you know, you watch the news a little bit and you start seeing the nation's history being destroyed. And you say, okay, what kind of nation destroys its own history? Who does that? Well, if you look historically, it tends to be what? Totalitarian regimes and totalitarian movements. They destroy history. Most nations learn to accept their history, right? As a story of a flawed nation, right? That in a nation's history, there is both good and bad. So who destroys their own history most recently? You know, the most visible signs, outward signs, is the Taliban, right? They destroyed history. They destroyed religious history and any history that didn't fit the narrative. ISIS did a fair amount too. So you see this stuff happening in our country, and again, you think like, okay, so when are the adults going to show up, and where are they? And you know, and the adults that need to show up are not affiliated with a single political party, but they're afraid. They're afraid of this thing that's going on in this country, right? So, but aren't you supposed to stand up and tell the truth when it matters? Isn't that what leaders do? Evidently not. Okay, so then you watch. What kind of people don't believe in free speech that live in a democracy? Free speech is what I decide is free speech. Now, we've watched this thing go on, right? And start in places like Berkeley, right? Liberal college, liberal university. That's about to be in big financial trouble, but that's a different story. And if you're a conservative speaker, you can't go there because there will be riots and burning and looting in the street. So, sorry, it's just too dangerous. You know, what is that? So this is not what's going on in the country has been slowly but surely gaining steam over the past decade. And that is violence is met with weakness. And so it continues. But so freedom of speech is what I decide it is, what we decide with our group. Decides it is. What kind of nations do that? Well, not free nations. Free nations don't do that. What kind of nations don't believe in due process for everybody? Well, you can see, and you know, so you're watching this stuff play out on TV, and I mean, how disturbing is it? You know, so I made the comment last night, you know, this is what it must feel like to live in a totalitarian state, right? God help you if you get involved in the system, like legally. Due process, maybe not so much. So, anyway, to say that we live in interesting political times would be an understatement. And again, there's things that fuel this. And, you know, I believe one of the things that fuels this is a media that doesn't, you know, that doesn't believe in the truth. That doesn't believe in the truth. So what changed in the media to cause all this? Well, the media got to be a really, really, really competitive event. Okay? The media used to have a monopoly. The media, newspapers, television, right? Very organized parts of our economy, very structured, right? Think about the local newspaper in your town. Anybody who wanted to advertise a job, what do? Put it in the want ads. Right? Anybody who wanted to sell something, where'd it go? It went into the classified ads. All that money went to the newspaper, and it supported the news. So there was certainty. And with that certainty, I believe, came stability. With that stability came a more responsible view of journalism. So the internet gets invented. And now people decide that, you know what, there's better ways, bulletin boards and other things that I can do to advertise jobs, to sell my lawnmower, right? To hire a nurse, to hire a driver, you know, to hire whatever. And the revenue begins to dry up. And the media becomes a competitive business. So if I want, right, if I want to compete, now that and then everybody reads online. So the subscriptions to the newspaper dive. So you have classified ad revenue diving to the ground. You have subscription revenue diving to the ground, and they're going out of business. And so they reinvent themselves. How do we attract readers? I'm going to give you an example today. I'll use Marine Corps Times as an example. I'm going to read you a headline, and then I'm going to tell you the truth. Okay, what would you expect to read underneath this headline? Marine dies following on-base stabbing / shooting incident that also killed a Marine spouse. You'd expect to read that, right, a male Marine died and that somehow or other a female spouse was killed. That's what I would expect to read. No. It was Marines doing something in a house, all male, that got killed. So what you have is, right, we're going to sexy up this headline as clickbait. Yeah. Wow. And when somebody sees it, they'll go, oh, shit, what happened there? Let me click on it, which adds to, right, their ability to raise money. We got all these clicks. So hotter, sexier, more shrill. And the casualty on that? The truth. So what you're seeing is, you know, people who've learned that is if you scream louder, it matters. Because the people that you're up against are afraid. They're liberals who are afraid. I had those thoughts in my head. Will Cosentini this morning forwarded me an essay by Victor David Hansen called "What Happens When the Madness Ends." I will put this as a part of this hour, but you should read it. Victor David Hansen, you know, conservative writer. And writes in a publication called, or on a website called American Greatness. You see him on TV on a regular basis. But, you know, it goes down the trail that I talked about in terms of feeling this is what communism must feel like. And where are the adults? Why don't we have Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer? Why don't we have them both condemning the violence, condemning the lawlessness? Why don't they appear together and say, hey, look, this is wrong. This is not how we do it in this country. And I think one of the great visual images that Victor David Hansen uses in his little essay today, he writes this. And it has to do with statues, and we talk about that in the second hour. Declaring Confederate statues must fall, but only through pro forma deliberations is fine and good. But prejudging that such democratic deliberations will reach the proper end results sends a signal to the mob, well, why wait for a slow coach, for a slow coach vote? Will only confirm our violence. If a sober and judicious observer declares that all Confederate generals are the same and all their stone and bronze images are illegitimate on public display and all their removals must result from and be confirmed by majority votes, then why have majority votes unless one believes in the legitimacy of the old Soviet Duma or Saddam's Iraqi parliament? So, to me, you know, and you'll hear us talk about it, what you'll see, and Victor David Hansen writes about it, what you'll see in the future is the greatness of the American system, which is our founding fathers, right? Whether we're talking about the Electoral College or our bicameral Congress, legislative bodies, right? Everything is designed to force compromise. You cannot grab the steering wheel and hang a right turn with the United States. It doesn't work like that. The key break, right, is the Senate, where every state gets two votes. And so that's how it will go. At some point, you know, the steam will be spent. At some point, you know, we will hold hearings. At some point, there will be a reconciliation with the truth. And the truth, I mean, the things that we've talked about on this program for a couple months now. Right? The data from the Washington Post database. At some point, the nation has to have a conversation about that. On that website, on the website called American Greatness, there's an article that I have yet to read that I will. And it's called Make the Inner City Great Again. And so I'm curious to read it to see what ideas are in that. And that's where this whole thing has to go. Right. But I mean, why isn't Nancy Pelosi standing up and, you know, and saying, hey, this lawlessness needs to stop. Why doesn't she appear with Kevin McCarthy as Republicans and Democrats and make a joint statement and say, hey, look, enough is enough already. This must stop. This is not how we do it as Americans. If those statutes are to come down, there's a process for that. There's elected officials that are in charge of that. And if what we're descending to is when you don't like something, you go out in the street and you violently take action, that I will tell you where that goes. And it's not a pretty place. At some point, people get tired of being shoved around and they will shove back. So anyway, good morning to you on a Monday. Yeah. Tomorrow, fly to North Carolina to do post-traumatic winning. Yeah, fired up about that. And then so I'll be there for the rest of the week, come back on Saturday. So excited to get back out and do it. Did a lot of writing over the weekend. I'm about, 25 pages away from being done with the second draft of my book. So I'm getting more comfortable with that. And so today is kind of this week is kind of a cool week, to get going again. So good morning to you on a Monday morning. As I said, Will Cosentini, Jeff Kenny, Tim Lynch join us in the next hour. You can hear Tim Lynch's explanation for why he missed last Thursday. Yeah. And so it goes. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine last night, still in the Marine Corps, and about life. And so I said, so what are you doing? He said, well, you know, what can you do? He said, you have different people in different stages of craziness. And relative to this virus, I said, but, you know, can I point something out? I mean, only one person on active duty died. And that was somebody on the Roosevelt who had, I don't know his medical record, but they said who had very high comorbidity factors. Other than that, there's been nobody else die on active duty. I said, do they know that? And he started laughing. He said, I don't know, but maybe I should bring it up. I said, well, there's been two reservists die in the whole DOD. So this is something that's going to be here, and everybody's going to have to deal with it. You know, what does that mean? It means, well, when guys test positive, they go into some form of quarantine, right? Somebody else takes their spot. So people are going to have to learn other roles. Going to have to be more flexible. Semper Gumby. Yeah. If you've never heard that, Semper Gumby. So, so this is going to be here for a while. So the cases will go up. You know, hospitalizations will go up. But again, hopefully what we can do is confine the cases to, you know, the people that can stand this virus. If people that can't stand it are foolish enough to go out, then, I mean, how do you help somebody who won't help themselves? So, anyway. All right. Good morning on a Monday. The United States Marine Corps Band makes this Monday official. Good morning to you. I did everything right and hit the wrong button. this is dedicated to that, the idea of that tipping point. I don't know when we're going to get there, but I think, you know, it's interesting. No matter what side that people are in terms of political, I think affiliation, where they are in that spectrum, I think one of the things that comes up pretty quickly in conversation is people saying, what do you make of all of this? And which I think gives you some sign of or some indication of how deeply people are bothered by the events that have gone on in our nation over the last month. So this is dedicated to the idea of that tipping point, and that someday soon the adults in the room will stand up and we'll begin to have a conversation about whatever short failings there are in the system relative to making the American dream accessible to everybody.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time for us to check the weather here on Monday. Let's see. Currently, it is sunny and 83 at the crossroads of the Marine Corps in Quantico, Virginia. Down the coast, mostly sunny and 86 at Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune in 29 Palms. It is heated up again. Sunny and 86. Camp Pendleton, clouds in 65, so that's normal. Camp Smith in Hawaii, sun coming up, cloudy in 72. Okinawa, dark cloudy in 81. Afghanistan, south central type, clear evening in 97. And Iraq, sunny and 100 late in the day there. Currently at the home of All Marine Radio here in beautiful Southern California. It is cloudy and 66, looking for a high of 75 today, 73 tomorrow, 74 Wednesday, 74 Thursday, 76 on Friday, 76 on Saturday, 72. So actually it's a little bit mild, the weather. So anyway, that is a look at your weather. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll check news headlines. And then as we head to the top of the hour, Alex Hollings will join us tomorrow. On Wednesday, you're going to meet again a guy named Jack Hoban. And Jack is a guy who teaches police departments about a concept that he calls, you know, guardian, right? And ethical guardian. We'll come back. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but
but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
To the news we go here on a Monday morning. Let me give you, before I do anything with the news, if you were loosely paying attention, and this is, I told you, as a Father's Day idea, to subscribe to the Wall Street Journal, right? Well, I'll just tease this. In the second hour, you're going to hear me talk about an article. And it has to deal with the firing of the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, which involves New York City, right? His name is Jeffrey Berman. And it turned into a thing over the weekend. And so, you know, one of the things we used to rely on the news for was, you know, the facts about something so that we could understand it, right? That's not really how the news works anymore. So I would just tell you that if you haven't read the journal's coverage of that incident, you ought to include the editorial board, what they write. But I talk about it in the second hour, so I will leave that there. The top story, although you wouldn't know it, you wouldn't know it by looking at the news, okay? Because as media people do, release it on a Friday, you know, gets coverage Saturday and Sunday. By Monday, right? You know, it's old news. Anyway. This was on Friday. Theodore Roosevelt investigation fallout. Crozier won't be reinstated. Strike group CO promotion delayed. All right. So, Captain Brett Crozier, who commanded the USS Theodore Roosevelt until April, will not be reinstated to lead the ship, will not be eligible for future command, and faces additional administrative punishment for what will be over... that will be overseen by the U.S. Pacific Fleet Commander, Admiral John Aquilino, the Navy announced on Friday. So, to me, well, let me just read, you know, briefly what he wrote. Quote, and this, and the Nation read this, right? Because it somehow or other got released to the media. We are not at war. Sailors do not need to die. If we do not act right now, we are failing to properly care for our most trusted assets, our sailors. He wrote that in a letter, ultimately leaked to the San Francisco Chronicle. Right? And then relieved by the acting Secretary of the Navy, Thomas Modley, who then flew out to the Roosevelt and pretty much said in no uncertain terms what he thought about Captain Crozier. That audio, right, was blasted around the world. Modley winds up resigning. Now, what's interesting, though, about this issue is that a preliminary inquiry was done, right? And the chief of naval operations said at the time he would be inclined to reinstate Captain Crozier. And so, I mean, that, in my opinion, is pretty disturbing shit. Okay? Pretty disturbing shit. Along with a whole bunch of other stuff that we talk about in the second hour, so I won't beat that up to death. All right? So, but let me just, from the press conference on Friday, after conducting an initial investigation, the much broader, deeper investigation that we conducted in the weeks following that had a much deeper scope. It is my belief that both Rear Admiral Baker and Captain Crozier fell well short of what we expected of those in command. Had I known then what I know today, I would not have made the recommendations to reinstate Captain Crozier, Gilday told reporters, reference a late April recommendation he made to the Defense Secretary Mark Esper based on the initial investigation. Yeah, how about that? Esper, instead of signing off on the recommendation, asked for a deeper look into the circumstances surrounding the outbreak, and the Navy chain of command responded to that. Now, know this. If you could get away, and we talked about this at the time, with what he did, to go public with your criticism, I mean, you fire yourself at that point. And then when... And then you get your job back, that will open up a can of worms for the Department of Defense, for each branch that will make every relief its own short version of Peyton Place. Now, if you don't know what Peyton Place is, right, then you're young. God bless you. It's a soap opera. It was on in the evening, though, right? I remember my mother watching it. And I was in love with somebody on Peyton Place. I don't know. They had some pretty attractive actresses on Peyton Place. And I, as a young guy, little guy, I was not. It was not lost on me. And so, yeah, there you have it. What's interesting, though, is some of the things that get said. Admiral Gilday goes on, they did not effectively carry out our guidelines to prevent spread of the virus. They were slow egressing sailors off the ship, and they failed to move sailors to available safer environments quickly. Additionally, Captain Crozier exercised questionable judgment when he released sailors from quarantine on the ship, which put his crew at higher risk and may have increased the spread of the virus on the Roosevelt. When obstacles arose, both failed to tackle the problem head-on and to take charge in a number of instances. They placed crew comfort in front of crew safety. And we'll talk about that, right? So, I'm just talking Marine Corps now. If this is Marine run and we need to get people off a ship, where's everybody going? Well, there's no space for them. Is there a football field? Well, yeah, there's a football field and a park. Okay. If you can get us, right, 50 porta-johns, right, we will go live in that park. We have no problem with that. We'll find the water source. We know how to do this kind of stuff. All we need is, you know, porta-johns, and we can sleep on the ground. That would be the Marine Corps, right? That would be the Marine Corps approach to this. So the sick are going to go to the hospital, right? those positive with the virus are going to go in quarantine here. Everybody else is going there. We'll do sick call every morning, blah, 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 blah. We'll live in the park. We'll social distance in the park. I mean, waiting to go to hotels. Really? So, yeah, waiting for Guam to open up their hotels so that we can get off the ship. Because that's how we do it. Right? What? So, again. So, fairly interesting stuff coming out of that. So, that's the big, in my opinion, the biggest story that's not going to be talked about much this morning. All right. To the news of the day, Stars and Stripes writing about a story, 45 people treated for chlorine gas and smoke exposure after Kadena Air Base fire at hazardous material site. Yeah, nobody needs that, right? And then you have a series of stories that are essentially reflect this headline. Surge in coronavirus cases at Air Force Base on Guam sparks probe into possible violations. So you have a whole series of stories about COVID-19 cases increasing as we start moving around and we hit the play button. Okay. So anyway, I'll get to this in a second, but here's one quick headline. Now listen to this. This is on the front page right now, and I talked about, news is a competitive business anymore. You don't have the classifieds. You don't have the subscriptions anymore. You've got to appeal to people's thumb to punch a headline on a cell phone. So you have this story. Marine punches man in the face at Okinawa nightclub while violating coronavirus restrictions, police say. Right? Like, how dumb is that? A single Marine. That's on the front page. That's on the front page of Stars and Stripes. So, kind of makes my point, right? News as a competitive business has changed the complexion of news. Right? No longer can we be journalists. Right? Now we're trying to stay under the long axis of the bell curve. Right? And what do we have to do? It has to be hot. It has to be, actually overheated and overblown. The Theodore Roosevelt and the USS Nimitz launch dual carrier flight drills in the Philippine Sea. Yeah, we talked about this a few days ago, but let me tell you where all the different amphibious ready groups and carrier battle groups are. All right. The WASP is off the coast of Virginia, all right? That's a Marine Expeditionary Unit. The Bataan, I don't know which muse these are. I guess I could look it up, but I'm not going to. Bataan, that muse looks to be getting ready to... No, it's in the Med. Yep, it's in the Med, operating in the Med, as usual. It's the Eisenhower Carrier Strike Group is in the North Arabian Sea, right? So just south of the Straits of Hormuz, right? South of Iran, blah, blah, blah. Interestingly enough, you have the Reagan, the Roosevelt, and the Nimitz all in various spots in the Philippine Sea. Yeah! With the Roosevelt and the Nimitz conducting dual carrier flight operations. Whoa, are we message sending with that? Evidently. So, yeah. So that's in the news, right? Two aircraft carriers sailed in unison Sunday into the Western Pacific to kick off combined flight operations this week. So I'm not saying that we're message sending to China, but we might be. The Roosevelt and the Nimitz teamed up for drills in the Philippine Sea to demonstrate the United States' unique capability to operate multiple carrier strike groups in close proximity, according to a Navy statement issued over the weekend. By working together in this environment, We're improving our tactical skill and readiness in the face of increasing pressure in the region and from COVID-19, said Rear Admiral Doug Verasimo in a statement. So there you have it. Marks the first time since two carriers have been in the Philippine Sea since the Reagan and the Stennis trained together there in 2018. They take place as China's also flexing its naval muscles with two carriers, their two carriers, scheduled to for exercises in the region. So, yeah, dueling naval power. Now, if we can just convince the Navy that they're an actual combat organization and not, right, a jobs program, we'll be in business. Here's a headline. And this is what's stunning about I mean, and again, the DoD is a good place to do research, right? Headline, most active duty soldiers with severe COVID-19 have pre-existing health conditions, a study has found. The findings, which mirror would have been found among civilians, are kind of a relief, said Dr. John Ambrose, a senior epidemiologist with the Army Public Health Center. Quote, it tells us there's no factor that's changing outcomes in the military population. And so we know we can affect public health mitigation measures and interventions that have proven to work, he said, such as social distancing, mask wearing, and good hygiene. More than 200 active duty soldiers who were diagnosed with the coronavirus between February 11th and April 6th took part in the study, the results of which were published in the current issue of the military's Medical Surveillance Monthly Report. Only 12 of the 219, you know, just over 5%, were hospitalized. And of those, 4 were treated in intensive care units. None required a ventilator. None of the soldiers had died of the disease as of June 21st. So, anyway, in general, U.S. population, 14% of the people who became ill required hospitalization, 2% were admitted to the ICU, 5% died. And that is of the percentage that became ill. So, 86% of the people that became ill did not require hospitalization. Only 2% were admitted to the ICU. So, anyway, numbers, just so you have them. Let me do top five stories in early bird, and then you're going to hear my friends here. Top five stories in early bird today. Number one, Captain Crozier won't be reinstated as the commander of the carrier Roosevelt. He also won't be eligible for another command, and he's going to be subject to other administrative procedures, as will the commanding officer of the carrier battle group, right? The one star that was with him. Number two, troops could see a 3% pay raise, more child care and family support programs under a house plan. Number three, Air Force Command Master Sergeant Joanne Bass to become the first woman to serve as senior enlisted member in any branch of the services. So congratulations to her. Number four, the Pentagon wants to forge ahead with robot warships, but Congress wants to slow the train. Why? Congress is wary of giving the Navy too much leash on unmanned warships. More to follow. Number five, remains of one of two missing Fort Hood soldiers were found. This is a story that ran nationally. So real quick, the remains of one of two missing Fort Hood soldiers were discovered Friday in Killeen, Texas, according to Fort Hood officials. The skeletal remains have been positively identified as Private Gregory Morales. Morales' remains were discovered in a field near the 3200 block of Florence Road Friday morning after U.S. Army CID special agents received information as to the location of the body, according to a Fort Hood media release. Foul play is suspected at this point of the investigation. So a $25,000 reward leading to information. He vanished days after his discharge. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Tim Lynch, Jeff Kenney, and Will Cosentini will join me as we talk about the Navy's final adjudication of Brett Crozier's relief. So don't touch that dial. More of this program coming up next right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.